Welcome back to the first official episode of Another Glass of Charlie Faye. So grab whatever you're drinking today, whether that be coffee, a glass of wine, or 13 shots of vodka, girl, because we about to zig in. I just want to say thank you to all of my listeners out there. I just posted my intro for the first time last week, and you guys have been so incredibly supportive. So I just want to thank you for that. I hope that you guys keep enjoying the podcast and keep listening to it and keep giving me feedback. You have no idea how much that means to me. We have a fucking awesome episode ahead of us today. So as you guys know, I posted something last week. I wanted to hear from you, and I wanted to know what you guys wanted to hear for the first official episode. And the most popular response was body image and body positivity. If you guys follow me, you already know that I'm a huge body positivity advocate on all of my social media platforms. So today, I'm going to be talking with Molly from Molly Ilza Photography. If you guys don't follow her, I'm going to add all of her information in the show notes so that you can. And we're going to be going over the physical part of body image and body positivity and the internal part of body image and body positivity. So stay tuned. You guys are going to love this episode. All right, I'm just going to let her introduce herself for the very first time on this podcast. Also, it's the very first episode, so, you know, that makes a little more sense. But anyways, here is Molly from Molly Ilza Photography. Molly, can you tell us about you a little bit?
Hi, yeah, of course. So I've been working alongside Charlie for different projects for quite a while now. We've known each other for how many years?
Too many.
Yeah. Okay. So I am also a photographer in the New Brunswick area. I shoot weddings as well as boudoir. And we also host our body love retreats together. When I'm not shooting, I own a hobby firm out in Colpitt Settlement, if anybody knows where that is. And I also just gave birth 2 months ago to a beautiful baby girl.
So just a quick little story about me and Molly and how we became friends, if you guys don't know the story. So me and Molly met a few years ago, I would say like probably 6 years ago now. And the reason why we met was because I bought a lens from her and I had sent her a message on Kijiji, and I didn't realize until I saw her in person that she was Molly from Molly Ilza Photography, because I'd been following her while I was in college, and I really admired her work, and I admired her as a person and as a businesswoman. And so when we met and I bought that lens, I was so starstruck that I was meeting Molly that I basically word vomited and told her that we were going to be best friends at that meeting. She thought that I was the weirdest person. And she basically was kind of like, I don't really think that's going
to
happen.
But I thought I was about to get stalked. I thought the restraining order was coming a few months after that.
And I definitely was stalking her at this point. I'm not going to lie. Anyways, at that point on, I was kind of like, I really want to be friends with this girl. I'm going to do anything that I possibly can to make this happen. And so she hasn't been able to get rid of me since then.
I did take out a restraining order, but it didn't hold up.
She's lying. She actually really loves me. We're just going to jump right into this right away. I did have some questions ready. That's not true. I did not have any questions ready. I was just going to wing it. But we have both been really involved in the body positivity world. And because of the fact that we both shoot boudoir and we both work with women on a daily basis, we've really seen the struggles that women go through and, you know, the pressure to be perfect and that kind of stuff. So I want to ask you, Molly, when was it that you first saw or that you first discovered that you could see flaws on your body?
Yeah. So I definitely want to preface this with saying that growing up, anybody who knew me throughout school or anything, I was very tiny. I was stick thin. It was just the way I was. But I would say it was definitely early on in my life, probably around 10 years old, I started noticing when I wore tank tops that there would be a little bit of what I call armpit fat. on the sides of my tank tops. And that was something that really bothered me. And for the next few years, I would only wear t-shirts and stuff to cover it up, even though nobody had ever mentioned it. And it's very normal. But that was definitely one of the first times that I kind of noticed that, like, there's so much depth to your body. There's so many different parts and pieces. And it's not just, oh, I'm skinny, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that because, like I said, we've both worked with so many women. And one thing that I've noticed is that weight has nothing to do with confidence. It has zero to do with confidence because some of the heavier set ladies that I've worked with have been the most confident. And some of the smaller ladies that I've worked with have been the least amount of confident. So it really depends on the person. It depends on how you see yourself. And yeah, what can you add to that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's a very different vibe when somebody comes in and you know that they are confident versus when they come in and they're not confident. And that's not to discourage anybody from booking boudoir. If you are lacking confidence, you will get an amazing confidence boost from it. But it's definitely a different vibe, and it definitely isn't something that depends on weight or body type.
And confidence isn't something that is just given to you. It's not something that you can buy at a store or anything like that. It's really something that you develop over a period of time, and it's something that you need to work on constantly. And by, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror every day and constantly complimenting yourself, or maybe looking at the things that people would compliment you on and trying to see them in a different light, that would definitely help. But obviously boudoir sessions would definitely help because you're being viewed, or I guess you're viewing yourself in a different light already by looking through these photos, because the photographer is already showing you in a different light and showcasing your body in a different light so that you can see it in a different way.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that one of the things that you struggled with, even when we first met, was that your lack of confidence had stemmed a little bit from having a flat chest and not having any boobs.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't think I really developed any boobs until I got pregnant, I guess. Before that, they were, you know, like the smallest, like A cup size. That was about that. And even then I couldn't always fill out the A cup bra.
Listen, the amount of selfies that this girl has sent me throughout her entire pregnancy and even postpartum, I think I have a collection of about 37 photos of just Molly's boobs. And this was throughout the process of them growing through pregnancy. So I have like a good variety of colors and a good variety of just largeness.
It could be like when people take photos of their face every day for a year, it can be that, but it's my boobs every day for a year.
Yes, absolutely.
From pregnancy. You could do a
whole slideshow of it.
Yes, 100%. But no, I was definitely very flat-chested as a child, and that was definitely something I got made fun of a lot. I wouldn't even say that I was a late developer because they didn't really ever develop until I got pregnant.
I mean, and they were pretty big.
Yeah, they got a little out of control. A little bit.
A little out of control. I'm not going to lie.
I will happily go back to the small boobs now. I'm good.
I mean, well, talking about boobs, I always felt like, I mean, growing up, I always felt like I had abnormal boobs because of how pale my nipples were. I had like these ghost nipples. And so I started watching porn at a very young age. I'm really sorry, Mom. I always saw these women with, you know, these beautiful boobs, like these, like the right color nipple and just like the right amount of roundness. And I'd always envied these girls because of how perfect their breasts were. So there was one day I remember very vividly that I was in the bathroom with my mom and she'd taken her shirt off and I couldn't help but notice how tanned her nipples were. And I asked her, I said, why are your nipples a different color than mine? I said, mine are so pale and yours are so nice and tanned and brown. And she was like, oh, I think that I tanned in Mexico without a bikini top on once. And that's, you know, they just kind of stayed like that. And I was like, all right, that is my life goal now. I need to tan my nipples.
In Mexico.
In Mexico. I need to find this beach and tan my nipples in Mexico. But I struggled with that a lot because, like I said, I watched, you know, some porn, and I feel like when we do that, we're already setting ourselves up for not failure, but, you know, like having these expectations of what we're supposed to look like during sex and what we're supposed to look like on a daily basis. And I feel like those are such, you know, unrealistic expectations.
High school, middle school already is so awful.
High school, middle school was fucking horrible.
There's already so many standards already. And if you do jump into porn at a younger age, it's going to set those standards so much differently.
Yeah, for sure. But I know that we're living in a little bit of a different world now where a lot more women are coming forward and showing their bodies, and we're seeing a lot more of a variety of different kinds of bodies and, you know, different butts and different boobs. And, you know, I've found other pale nipple friends that I've become friends with because that's what we vibed on, you know? But you know, it's very hard to set those standards at such a young age. You know what I mean?
It is, for sure. And I think especially now, I mean, when we were growing up, it was a little bit different. We kind of grew up as social media grew up, and now social media is grown up and all the kids are using it. And I know it's like that meme that you see where it's like 13-year-olds then versus me as a 13-year-old.
Listen, when I was 13, I was dancing to High School Musical.
100%. I knew every word. Me and my dad watched it together. So this is a shout out to Jeff, who won't listen to this podcast, but he watched High School Musical.
You rock, Jeff.
So, you know, now they have the standard of social media where they get to go on every single day and see all these people posting photos of their quote unquote perfect bodies. And that's setting a whole other standard for kids nowadays. It scares me to raise a daughter right now with what's going around, because all of a sudden you're 10 and you're expected to look like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And I find that's a really tough situation that we're in right now.
It's a bit of a dangerous standard, I feel like.
Yes. Like, you should have seen the outfits I wore when I was 12. Like,
I was wearing like the white eyeliner with the glitter on top.
Oh God, yes.
The fact that, you know, the 12 and 13-year-olds now don't get to go through that, I think that's very unfair. I feel like they need to have all of these pictures that I had when I was 12 years old with the white liner and the glitter.
And the bell-bottom jeans and like the Hollister tops that you layered.
Oh my God, yes.
And the Uggs. The Uggs with it.
But Uggs are still a thing. I still wear my Uggs. Thank you very much.
It's like the fancy clips that like you put in like your hair that's like just trashed because like you try to brush it, but like hair straighteners weren't really a thing back in middle school. Like that wasn't, I think they were just kind of like.
Did you ever flat iron your hair?
I did not, actually.
I did that a couple times.
I didn't. I think it's definitely, it's kind of a little bit scary now to kind of see the world that I'm going to be raising my daughter in when I want to raise her to love herself and love her body.
But I think that that's something that, like I said before, is becoming more known now. It's becoming more of a norm that, you know, a lot more women are coming out and being much more real with their bodies. And Photoshop is becoming not a thing of the past, but a thing that isn't used as much to alter bodies anymore because of the fact that women want to see women. We want to see real bodies, and we want to see all of the things that are so-called imperfections that, you know, everybody else has, but has always been hidden and has always been forced to be hidden.
Yes. And I know for me, I find it so validating when I see a woman with a body type like mine, just expressing herself and being unapologetically her. And it always makes me feel so much more, I guess, secure in myself to know that it's a normal body. My body's not abnormal, just because I haven't seen it in the media until recently, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with my body or that my body is abnormal. It just means that we were kind of hiding those bodies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. You know, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, really the only bodies that we'd ever see in magazines and on TV, because there really wasn't any kind of social media back then. It was mostly just TV. Any of those bodies were always, I guess, the quote unquote perfect bodies.
Yes.
Even though those are still real bodies too.
Yes.
But we just weren't showing a huge variety of them.
Yes. And I definitely agree with that. I think a lot of times people have also shifted their focus to hating the quote unquote perfect bodies.
Which isn't fair.
It isn't fair, but I think that people see it as like, well, their body is just, you know, what society thinks is the right body. But they're all real bodies.
Yes. And not only that, even if you have a, like we will constantly say, quote unquote, perfect body, it doesn't mean that you think that it's perfect.
Exactly. And I know like, a lot of people, for example, shit on models because, well, models are so skinny. Do they even eat? Blah, 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 blah. I get where you're coming from. I get that we need more diversity in models and in modeling agencies. This is just an example. However, you can't shit on one body type.
Exactly.
And claim that you're promoting body positivity. Every single body, even those little teeny tiny models with the gorgeous abs, it's still a real body.
They're still real people.
Yep.
And when you're claiming that you are a body positive person and you do support the body positivity movement, you're not only supporting a size 14 and a size 16, you're supporting the size 32s and the size 36 and the size 44, and you're supporting the size 00 and even smaller than that.
Yep.
It's all different kinds of bodies. You're supporting the women with, you know, bigger chests and smaller bottom halves.
Yeah.
You're supporting the girls with the bigger butts and the smaller boobs. Like, you're supporting all of those women.
Yep.
And every single body.
And you're supporting the women with deformities.
Yes.
And you're supporting the women with illnesses. You're supporting everybody. It's not just limited to certain body types or certain people.
So really, calling yourself a body positive advocate is kind of, it's a big thing to do, because like I said, when you get to that point that you are able to say that you are a body positive advocate, you are supporting and promoting all of these different kinds of bodies.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's always stuff that we can improve on and stuff that we can learn as well. And there's always things we can do to change how we talk about it. There's always things we can do to help ourselves and help others too.
So Molly, you were saying that, you know, your confidence didn't stem from, I guess, your body when you were a child. You said that you were stick thin, and I guess the stereotypical thought that can come through my mind is, if you're small, then that means you're confident.
Yeah, that was definitely how it was kind of viewed when I was a child. It didn't bother me, but it was very constant comments about how tiny I was and how people were so jealous of my body. And so on, especially getting into high school. But I definitely didn't feel that confidence. And I didn't feel that I really even liked my body that much, even though everybody was, you know, telling me all these compliments.
So where were these insecurities stemming from?
I honestly don't know. I guess I just never thought about my body in any type of way other than it's just there to get me through life.
Mm.
I never thought of it in like a self-love way, and I never thought of it in a way that I need to respect and appreciate my body.
Okay. And then what age? So Molly does struggle with a few different types of illnesses internally. So I'd love for you to talk about that and what that kind of looks like for you.
Yeah. So I have undiagnosed endometriosis. I guess we could call it suspected endometriosis because I have gone through a laparoscopic surgery for it, but it was just too early to really handle it. That illness itself causes a lot of physical changes as well. So I get very severe bloating. I get intense cramping. There are times where I can easily look, you know, 20 to 25 weeks pregnant, just due to the bloating in my uterus. And I also have pectus excavatum, which was fixed a couple years ago. So that really ended up affecting me physically. If you don't know what pectus excavatum is, it's when your chest bone is sunken into your chest. So I had to go and get bars put in to push the chest bone up. But unfortunately, during that surgery, both of my breasts were damaged and one was actually half removed.
Wow. That's a pretty intense surgery.
It was a very intense surgery.
How long was the recovery time for that?
It was a long time. I was in the hospital for 5 days. I had to go to Toronto for the surgery, and I was able to fly home on the 6th day, which I was very thankful for, because we had planned to stay in Toronto for over 2 weeks before we could fly home. But I was able to go earlier. When I did get home, it was several weeks, mostly just staying in bed. And I would say it was probably around the 2 month mark when I was allowed to really start like bending over and twisting my upper body and picking stuff up and that ordeal. But I still to this day have pain and don't really feel normal from it. It's still painful.
Yeah, I can imagine. And is there anything, I guess, from that surgery that you can physically see?
Yeah. So I have huge scars on the sides of my breasts, two scars on each side, as well as missing a part of my breast as well.
Has that affected your confidence at all?
It definitely can. It was very hard, you know, when I did finally go to put a bra on after surgery and realizing that my bras don't really fit anymore because my boobs are completely different from what they were when I went in. You know, shirts look different on me. Everything looks different on me. And it was definitely a struggle.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Did they mention anything about if this was going to affect you throughout pregnancy or even postpartum or for breastfeeding or anything like that?
No, there was no mention of that. This surgery often isn't done on anybody older than 16, I believe, is the age cutoff. But I had this surgery done when I was, I believe, 22.
Okay.
The reason that it wasn't done when I was a child and it should have been was just because my doctor doesn't believe it's a real condition, I guess. But when I finally went on to see a specialist and I really pushed and advocated for my own health, they did discover that there was only 4.5 centimeters in between my spine and my chest bone. So my lungs and my heart were getting compressed, and that's why they sent me on for the surgery at 22 years old.
Oh my God.
But there was no mention of how it was going to affect my body. There's no mention of if it would affect pregnancy. In fact, none of the doctors that even followed me through my pregnancy were familiar with
the condition?
Really just anything. They didn't know anything. I was followed very closely throughout my pregnancy because they weren't sure how the bars in my chest were going to affect anything. And it went okay. It seems to be fine. But it was really just a big question mark. And none of the surgeons or anything really explained any of that to me.
I can only imagine how scary that would have been, not knowing if this was going to affect the pregnancy or if it was going to affect postpartum or anything like that.
It was stressful. My biggest worry was that it would affect my milk production. And it did. At the end of the day, it did. I was able to produce milk for the first 2 months, which I am really proud of. It was extremely difficult. It took me, I think, the first 3 or 4 weeks to really actually get a supply. Wow. And enough to feed my baby. However, my breasts would constantly leak. I wasn't able to hold the milk in. Once I produced the milk, it would just immediately come out. And it was excruciatingly painful. I unfortunately was not able to breastfeed because when the baby latched, it was a it was comparable to contraction pain.
Oh my God.
But then I was able to pump because it's not as strong. So I did pump for those 2 months and I am proud of that, but I did have to quit because the pain was getting a bit too intense.
I mean, if we want to bring some humor in here, I remember there was one day where I was sitting at your place when I was, this was probably like 2-3 weeks in, to Evelyn being born, and just sitting in the room and you had your boobs out. And then all of a sudden there was just this huge squirt of milk that just squirted across the room. Could have hit someone in the eye. Probably could have done some damage.
Could have, yeah.
But yeah, so when you say that your milk supply would just come out as soon as it would,
yeah,
it wouldn't stay in, I can only imagine how much of a struggle that could have been.
It was. It was definitely a huge struggle. I had to change my bra every 3 hours.
You could definitely use these as weapons.
Yes. For sure.
And I just hope that we continue showing real bodies and showing diversity and showing a variety of things so that these women who grew up their whole lives thinking that they were alone on this planet are seeing their body in real life for the first time, or are seeing their body type in a magazine, or seeing their body type in a brand ad, yes, or on social media. I'm sure that it's very reassuring, just like you said, when you, yeah, finally saw your own body type. I'm sure that it's very reassuring for them to see that and to be like, okay, I'm not alone.
It's true. And touching on that too, seeing cellulite in magazines.
That's huge now.
Seeing scars, seeing stretch marks, seeing all of that, that's so important now. I know I had a conversation one time with someone who said, oh, you know, I hate my cellulite. I hate that I'm covered in cellulite. And I said back, I said, well, you know, everybody has cellulite. And this person was like, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, everybody has or has had cellulite. Like, that's not, it's a very common thing, right? And this person didn't believe me because they were so used to seeing the, I guess, Photoshop bodies where you didn't see the cellulite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's just very validating for all of us to be able to see different things that people, I guess, consider flaws, to see those being portrayed as it's not a flaw, it's part of your body.
Yes, absolutely. And another thing too, while I was growing up, or even I guess like a little bit now, we always have that pressure to feel like we need to constantly change our bodies. And if we do get to a point where we can say, you know, I am comfortable in my body and I am confident and I do love my body, it's almost taboo. It's almost looked down upon. It's almost like you're perceived as you're conceited.
Yes.
Or you're too cocky.
Yeah.
Or, you know, those things. And that's not fair, because why is it that we constantly have to hate what we have, or constantly have to hate what we were given?
Or criticize yourself.
Or criticize ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely super important. I guess I haven't been as vocal online as you have about body positivity and all of that. Running a farm and raising a baby kind of takes up a lot of my time.
I mean, this has been pretty, not, I guess not recent, because I've been promoting this for quite a while, but yeah. I guess for the last, I would say year and a half, I've really been promoting it on myself.
Yeah. And I definitely feel the same way with myself. I never really had any big body changes until I was older, almost out of my teen years. I never had any significant body changes or anything like that. So this journey is actually very new to me, because again, I was still in the mindset that I just thought about my body as, well, it's just a body. There's no reason to like it or hate it or love it or anything. There's no reason to even think about it. So this is very new to me as well.
So how does it feel to be in a postpartum body?
It's interesting. Some days are not so bad. Some days I have looked in the mirror and had a really hard time not crying, because I don't recognize my body. And I feel like it's such a quick change.
Okay.
it wasn't, I realized there was 9 months where my body was growing, but I was growing a baby. So you're not paying attention to the rest of your body. You're just paying attention to your belly that's growing, and you know it's a baby in there, mm-hmm. right? But then once you have the baby and you see your body without a baby in it, it almost comes a bit of a shock to kind of see how much your body has changed and how much it's grown. And like, I couldn't see half of my stretch marks when I was pregnant because they were under my belly. And I mean, you can't see down there. Your belly is too big. So, you know, when I wasn't pregnant anymore and I could see all these marks and I could see everything, it was an adjustment. And it's just really been being mindful every single day of, you know, making sure that I'm not hating on my body and being mindful every single day of this is my body now and this is okay. And I still appreciate my body, and my body went through all of this for me. It's okay that I'm covered in stretch marks.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like there is, I mean, we could have a whole episode on diet culture, but if we just touch base on it really quickly, there is such that pressure when you do have a baby that you're supposed to bounce back to what you were prior to the baby. And you're never going to have the same body that you had before the baby. It's impossible.
It's true. Yeah. And I know during my pregnancy, I had to unfollow a lot of Instagram accounts because there was even sometimes unintentionally talking about how, oh, you know, I'm 2 weeks postpartum and look at me, I fit into my jeans, so proud of myself. 2 weeks postpartum, like, I wasn't even getting out of bed. What are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? I was having people deliver me milkshakes because I didn't want to move.
I was one of those people that she used to call for milkshakes. So,
so I think it's just, there's that expectation, I guess, that you do need to bounce back. My body gained 60 pounds during pregnancy. That's not just going to go away because I had the baby. My body's not going to go back to normal. But there definitely is kind of some idea that you're supposed to be able to, especially by 6 weeks, be able to fit into your jeans again and so on. But I still can't fit into my jeans. We're 10 weeks out now.
Yeah, and that's totally okay.
And I don't
because you look fucking mom.
I don't know if I ever will. They don't go over my ass anymore. I don't know. And it is what it is. And
this girl got a fat ass during pregnancy and it looks amazing.
Yeah. She's not wrong.
And when I say fat, I mean P-H-A-T. Okay.
Two T's, double T's. P-H-A-T-T.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that if I wasn't kind of in this journey in loving my body, and stuff like that, and I definitely kind of credit Charlie, she kind of opened my eyes a lot to this type of journey. But if I wasn't in that, I could definitely see how this would be a huge struggle for me right now. I would definitely be hating my body a lot right now. I would probably start working out on week 3 before I was even healed. Probably it's very possible that I would have started dieting or something like that.
It's a really dangerous standard. It's a really dangerous thing to, you know, to see that you're growing this baby and it's such an amazing time and it's so joyful and it's so exciting. And then as soon as you have the baby and the baby's no longer present inside of your body, you need to lose the proof that you had the baby.
Yep, it is true. And, it's been kind of weird because it's summertime and everybody's wearing shorts and crop tops, which is what I live in the summer. It's been kind of weird to think about, you know, my belly hanging out over my shorts, or like putting on a crop top and you can kind of see everything. That's definitely been,
let me tell you though, the dimples in your ass are hella cute.
So that's just been, it's been something that I kind of have to work through. And, you know, will my body ever go back to what it was? Not completely. I might end up the same size. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I exercise for my mental health. And I exercise to feel better. I don't exercise or work out to punish my body.
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And so when I am exercising, it's not with the goal that I need to get back into what my body was. It's with the goal that I just want to feel a bit better, take a bit of stress off, especially being a new mom. Like getting that 30 minutes in the evening once the baby goes to bed to do yoga has been such a blessing. And I don't do it with the intention that, oh, well, I need to tone my body.
Yeah.
I do it with the intention that I need to take care of myself mentally and physically.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the same thing for me too. I used to, you know, like 6-7 years ago, before I even started this journey, I used to work out to punish my body.
Yeah.
It was really because I wanted to lose those 15 pounds. And back then I was, you know, 160 pounds, and looking at photos of myself then, now, and thinking that I was fat back then,
yeah,
or that I was, you know, like that I was very large back then, is so crazy to me, because I'm 210 pounds now and I'm the most confident that I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. And it's definitely strange. I know that, you know, a lot of photos have popped up in memories and stuff recently of my body throughout the years. And it's been strange to look back at it, because I look back and I say, oh my God, like, can't believe my body ever looked like that. I looked so good. And then I think back to that time and I'm like, but I didn't feel like I looked good. I didn't feel like, you know what I mean? So it really makes me realize that I have to appreciate my body in this moment.
And I think we all do.
Yeah,
I think we all do. And it really, whether or not you've had a baby, or, you know, you're 2 years postpartum, or you're 12 years postpartum, or you're 26 years postpartum, or, you know, like, you haven't even had the baby yet. I think that we should all be present in, you know, what our bodies are now, and not focus on always trying to change them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're always thinking about the future, and, you know, like the McFlurry that I'm going to eat in 3 days from now, well, I know that I'm going to have to work that off. Or, you know, the milkshake that I drank two days ago, I'm still working that off now. You know what I mean? It's just like that dangerous precedent of not being able to enjoy food, and, you know, working, like we said, working out to punish your body instead of working out because it actually truly feels good.
Yeah, it's true. And I definitely developed a much different relationship with food during pregnancy, because I wanted to eat everything and anything all the time.
She really did.
It was intense. It was, it was a lot. I had so many meals. but I, you know, looking back on that, I've never had that type of relationship with food. I've always been the person where people are like, oh, you've barely eaten anything. And I was full, you know what I mean? So having a change in relationship with food as well has definitely affected kind of how I think about my body and myself as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we've gone through quite a bit during this episode. Like I said in the beginning, I'm going to put all of Molly's information in the show notes for you guys so that you can go and give her a follow. But thank you so much, Molly, for being on this episode today. This is not going to be the last time that she's going to be on an episode. She's probably going to be on here quite a few times, actually. It should actually be called Another Glass of Charlie and Molly at this point.
It's true. I think we should just make like a track of me like insulting you that you can just kind of like add in every once in a while.
So I'm going to cut that part out. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. So I'm going to put all of the information in the show notes for you guys. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for the coming episodes. But thank you so much for coming to this first official episode. You guys are amazing.